Hey, good morning. Let's turn to John chapter 11. John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard it, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he had fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. Then Jesus therefore said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him. Thomas therefore, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. So when they came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, Lord, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, The teacher is here and is calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews, therefore, then, were with her in the house and consoling her when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came there, where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And Jesus said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, Behold how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of him who was blind have kept this man also from dying? Jesus therefore again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said, Would I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and knew that thou hearest me always. And because of the people standing around, I said that they may believe that thou didst send me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many, therefore, the Jews who had come to Mary and beheld what he had done believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation shall not perish. Now this he did not say on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that he might also gather together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad, so that from that day on they planned together to kill him. Jesus therefore no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. Therefore they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, What do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all? Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, should report it, and they might seize him. Amen. Seems like quite an appropriate passage, especially when we're dealing with many people that are sick, in these days. And the death and resurrection of Lazarus is a foreshadowing of Jesus' own resurrection, right? And so you're seeing, basically an event. It's kind of like you think of like a telescope. You're seeing an event right in front of you, which actually points to another event that's going to happen, very, very soon. And you'll see in the scriptures a lot of these kind of events, right? Something is happening, but it's actually foreshadowing something else that's going to happen. You see a lot of these instances in the Old Testament, but there's a few that are in the New Testament. And so we have Lazarus, right? Lazarus was a great friend of Jesus. Whenever Jesus was weary from his journey, whenever there was persecutions, whenever things were kind of happening that, and Jesus just kind of needed to get away and get some rest, he went to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. I mean, this is a kind of relationship that they had. It wasn't, like they were just kind of, hung out together here and there. This is where Jesus went to rest. This is where he can get away from the crowds and he can just kind of like be himself and just relax. To say that there was a real closeness in the bond that he had, and probably in the New Testament, in terms of Jesus relationally with people, there was no one like these three, in their family. I don't know if because if they're orphans, because it doesn't mention anything about their parents or anything like that. But there was a real bond there, and which really speaks to us in many different ways. But in one of the ways that it talks to us about is about the timing of God. I think a lot of times we feel like when God doesn't answer our prayers quickly or in our time frame, we very easily can come into the idea that, God, you must not really love me. That if something doesn't quite work out in the way that we want it to work out, in our own time frame, right? We have that temptation to say, well, maybe you really don't love me. And the enemy will come into our ears and say, see, God doesn't love you. But that's not true. Even in this text, it was very clear, in verse 5, right, just so John knows that you don't miss this point, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loves them. I mean, he really, this is the family that he hangs out with. These are the people that he goes away to rest with. You have people like that, right? You can go away and spend time with them and you feel refreshed, and you could be yourself, right? And, you don't have to put on your hat of your work or whatever you do and you just receive. And this was the fact, he loved them. And yet when he hears this news, he stays back a few days, right? And this should really kind of mess with our thinking a little bit. Because we think, yeah, when there's delay, we feel like, oh, there's some kind of mistake. Maybe we sinned. If there's delay, we feel like, God's not pleased with us. Or so when there's delay, we have these kind of ideas. But the scripture tells us, no, he loved them, and yet he delayed. He prophesies to say, this sickness is not unto death. And so, it continues on. So he goes there to Bethany, which is very close to where they're at in Jerusalem. And Jesus, has to tell these guys that they're dead. Now, look at this interplay, right? There's something about perspective, right? What we want to have, and Paul talks about the mind of Christ, right? What we want to have is we want to have the mind of Christ. Now, let's look at this one situation and look at Jesus' perspective on it and then look at the reality or what's happening. Jesus says, Lazarus is just asleep. That's God's perspective, right? The disciples' perspective is he's dead, or the reality. No, this guy's dead. Look at what God looks at this situation is, no, he's just taking a nap, such a different contrast in the way that we think, right? The key is when we look at a situation, right, we want the mind of Christ in that situation, right? We want to get God's idea, God's thoughts, because it could be very, very different than what we're seeing with our natural eyes, right? You know, we look at this situation, so he's dead. Get ready for the funeral. Let's get things rolling. You know, whatnot. This is it. And Jesus says, no, he's just asleep. You know, he's just taking a nap. In other words, he's going to wake up real quick, right? And this is, I mean, this is the perspective. And in a couple different layers, one is in looking at situations in our life. Let's get God's, you know, opinion on this. The other side, too, is when we're dealing with death, you know, as a Christian, this is the idea. They're just asleep. They're going to wake up very, very soon, you know, and we're going to see them very, very soon. You know what I mean? In the glimpse of eternity, you know, it makes the 80-some years that we live in our life, you know, a couple more if you're a woman, you know, according to all the statistics, right? You know, it makes it just a blink of an eye. Right? And in that perspective, right, this is why, you know, like we sang that song on Sunday, right? Quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Right? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Right? Thanks be to God, right, who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. How can it? Because death is merely a nap, you know, in the length of eternity, especially in the Christian world. And so these different perspectives come along. I want to spend a little time talking about Martha a little bit, right? And the way I want to dictate this is three different types of faith, right? The first type of faith, right, that Martha offers is what we call a limited faith. You know, limited faith is controlled by circumstances, right? And it's motivated by fear and by failure, right? And so, you know, Martha's faith is limited. And verse 21 says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, right? Her faith is limited, right? The death of Lazarus meant the end of Martha's faith. If you had been here, oh, he's dead now, that's done, right? Her faith is limited. It's controlled and based upon circumstances, right? That's not really, you know, where we want to go to in our life, right? We don't want limited faith. We don't want our circumstances to dictate what we believe, you know, or where we're at, right? We're not moved by circumstances. We change circumstances. You know, it's a total different way, but this is a very elementary kind of faith, right? You know, this is what I was believing for. Well, this didn't happen, so that's it. My faith is done. You know, it's dictated by what happens. Right, and then she continues on, and then you know what happens a lot to faith that's limited or fundamental. The next part, right, or I should say, is Martha's faith is fundamental. What I mean by that, right, is that it's creeds. You know, she's memorized some things, and so she turns later on, and Martha says in 24, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Right, she's quoting a creed. You know, she understands. You know, kind of the idea of what's going on, but it's just words and phrases. It's not living. You know, like we do this, right? We say a lot of creeds and a lot of statements of belief and statements of faith, but they're just statements. And it's not living. It's not based on a living Savior, you know. And so Jesus turns to her, and notice every step of the way, Jesus is leading her into a greater faith. You know, she gives him, you know, a limited faith. You know, basically a faith that's based on circumstance. And what he says is, your brother is going to rise again. You know, and then she retorts and she gives a fundamental faith, right? She gives a statement of beliefs. Oh yeah, I know in the resurrection on the last day, you know, whatnot. And then Jesus is bringing her closer to this. And he says, look, I am the resurrection and life. You don't have to look for the end. I'm standing right in front of you. You know, she's having an encounter with God, you know, in this moment, you know, but before she just had an encounter with the creed. You guys understand what I mean by this, right? You know, she had an encounter with a belief statement, but Jesus wants to have her an encounter with the living Christ. It's not just a statement of belief. It's not the Apostles' Creed that we read every Sunday, right? Our creed is alive, you know, because it's based on the Lord Jesus Christ. But she's not quite there yet. You know, it's limited. It's faith is just that creed, but it needs to go beyond that creed. You know, and the way that it's manifest is action. So Jesus, after he goes, we'll get to Martha in a second. So he goes, and if you look at the passage, he turns to them after this whole discourse, and he says, "Remove the stone." Right? Listen carefully. Okay, there's going to be a moment in your life where your limited faith, where that fundamental faith, just the recitation of creeds, and there's going to be a moment where those things converge together, you know, and God challenges us to act on our faith. That's how you grow, right? And what does he say? He says, remove the stone. Martha, if you read the next verse, says, Lord, she objects to that because her faith is limited and it's fundamental, right? She says, no, he's going to be smelly. Right? I mean, you know, no, we don't want to do this. But then later, she relents, and they remove the stone. Right? And so, I mean, this is the love of God, the love of the Lord, even on this limited, fundamental faith. Right? Even challenges Martha now. Says, okay, you have a limited faith, okay? You know some creeds, but now this is it. This is where it all comes together. And he says, remove the stone. And so she needs to act. But notice she doesn't act properly. You know, she's like, well, you know, I don't know about this, Lord. Obviously, she relents and they remove the stone. And then, right, Lazarus comes forth. And in this case, you know, Martha has moved, right? You know, the fact of her actually removing the stone and the fact that she actually, you know, allows the men to actually do that was a sign of her faith. You know, she's limited, right? She had some creeds, and now she says, okay, let's remove the stone. And then God becomes God, right? You know, have you ever heard that phrase, seeing is believing? It's not true. It's not true at all. You know, in the Christian faith, you know what it is? Is believe, and then you'll see, right? It's very, very different, you know, because it takes that step of faith before the manifestation of God. You know, it's just one of these things that happen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, faith is one of these elements, you know, that is so, like, spiritually explosive, you know, and you know, different ideas, right? You believe, and then you'll see, right? Faith, you know, comes before sight. I heard a verse like that in Hebrews somewhere. You know, I think it's chapter 11, where it talks about that. And that's what it is, right? He needed to lead Martha in this kind of trajectory, and they remove the stone. In other words, she acts in faith, and then she sees. You know, and then after this, it's like, now she went, oh my God, you are the resurrection and the life. You know, this is not something I need to look forward to, you know, many, many years later on. Like, man, you're standing right before me now, right? And, you know, I preached on this before, you know, the delay, right, led to a greater revelation. You know, if Jesus just comes and heals Lazarus, right, then they don't learn anything more about God. You know, or about the Lord. It's like, yeah, well, you heal a lot of people. Now he raises someone from the dead. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, you are the resurrection and the life. You know, a totally different thing. I mean, if you're doing EG, and, you know, that's one of the best lines in Blackaby's whole book, you know, dealing with this issue of faith. Now, so that's one side, okay? I want to see another side of this, because this chapter also is a contrasting of Martha and of Mary, right? And if you look at this, notice, right? Here's Martha, verse 21. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? Now, look at verse 32, the end of that. You know, Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, fell at his feet, and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The same exact statement, right? Martha says a statement. What does Martha get? Martha gets truth, right? Mary says this, asks the same exact word. Right? Same exact phrase. What does Mary get? Mary gets action. Isn't that interesting? Right? Same thing. Why? How does this work? You know, and I mean, I just want to suggest to you, right? I think it's heart, right? You know, Mary just moved Jesus' heart. There was just something about Mary. That's actually a movie, right? You know, there's something about Mary that just moves Jesus, right? Remember, Mary was the one in the book of Luke, right, that just sat at the Lord's feet in the midst of all the preparations, all the work, and Martha's just getting so flustered. And Jesus, will you tell Martha to help me, you know, prepare food for everyone, right? And Jesus says, Martha, man, you're troubled about so many things. Mary's just chosen the best. I just want to suggest to you that Mary had an intimate relationship with the Lord. Well, there's something about Mary in her heart and her approach to the Lord Jesus that was a little different than Martha's. I'm not trying to say anything bad about Martha, as Martha was also beloved of God, and you can see how Jesus is leading Martha into a faith encounter, you know? But there's something, right? So Martha, if my brother died, and you know, she gets truth. Mary comes at his feet. If you had come. And what does Jesus weeps, right? Jesus is moved. You know, you can't, there's something about a heart content in our lives, you know, about intimacy that we offer to the Lord that just moves God. You know, if you look through the New Testament, you know, you see a lot of the miracles and things that are happening. A lot of the motivation of the Lord in doing that is actually compassion. You know, I know a lot of conservative theologians want to talk about he's just, you know, authenticating his ministry. I don't know. You know, obviously there's something to do with that. But a lot of time it's just pure compassion. He just has compassion on people, right? Something just moves God. You know, and like, for like a, if you think about a goal in life or something, right? I mean, I want to be the kind of person that just moves God's heart. Right? If something's, you know, I mean, yeah, I appreciate truth. You know, I appreciate a good message coming, you know, and so a good teaching, right? Learning something. But if I had to choose, I'd rather just be a type of person that just moves God. You know, the scriptures there talks about, he says, you know, after Mary came and all these things happened, he says the word actually in Greek is he troubled himself. You know, he stirred himself up. You know, he got himself angry, you know, at this situation, right? And then he starts weeping. Just such a, you know, I mean, something is going on in Jesus, right? And I mean, he's almost like ruined, you know, in this situation. You know, and I would suggest to you, it was Mary that was a real impetus of bringing that into his life, right? Because she had this intimacy with the Lord. You know, last week we talked about trying to find what is pleasing to the Lord. Remember, you know, Jesus says, I only do the things that are pleasing to him, John chapter 8, right? And that's I mean, we're talking about someone like Mary, who just, right? And, you know, and then the next chapter, tomorrow, we'll see Mary's act of thanksgiving. She pours this, you know, 1 year's wages of perfume. Right, I mean, you know, that's a, you know, let's see, a typical wage, right? I mean, you're talking what, $50,000, one bottle of perfume that she's wasting on the Lord. That's, you know, that's intimacy. You know, money doesn't matter, right? It's, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, right? And things, and so I mean, just really, I mean, a great passage. Let's close our eyes. Kind of, you know, a couple of different things to think about in this. And, you know, one, right, is our faith. You know, I mean, do we have a limited faith? In other words, is our faith, right, defined by our circumstances? Or do they go beyond our circumstances? That's limited faith. Do we have a fundamental faith? In other words, is our faith just a bunch of creeds? You know, is our faith just a bunch of statements of truth? And then, when those defining moments come where Jesus asks us to remove the stone, will we obey? You know, and it's just really the grace, right, of the Lord, because Martha actually says no, right? And Jesus just leads her into that. You know, we're going to stumble and fall. We know that. But it's just the grace of God just to continue to lead us. You know, like when I read this passage, I just basically see Jesus holding Martha's hand and is leading her step by step in this process of faith. Right? And I mean, just amazing. The kicker on top of all that is that in this journey of faith and whatnot, that really, that we'd have the intimacy like Mary does. That God just moves because of our heart. And as Jesus leads us in a song, you know, a lot of things to meditate on. Let's just go before the Lord.
Cover me with your hand and lead.
Let's pray together. Huh? Let's pray about our faith. Let's pray about our heart. You know, let's ask the Spirit to analyze, you know, yeah, what kind of faith am I offering to the Lord? Remember when Jesus says, you know, will He find faith on the earth? And so let's just go before the Lord and just ask the Spirit of God to do an assessment. Is my faith just a bunch of creeds? Or is it on the living God? Have I been in moments where I've been asked to remove the stone? Have I done it? You may have objected at first, but have you removed the stone? Have you moved into action? Let the Spirit of God speak to us and just interact with the Lord right now. Let's pray for brothers and sisters in the body that are going through different things. Let's pray that I mean, you know, if anything, they're in the crucible of faith right now. And let's pray that their faith would stand, right? That when God calls them into action, let's continue to lift up Charles and his dad and his family before the Lord. You know, let's pray for Kian's mom, for Chris's aunt. Let's pray for Alex's father. Let's pray that in all of these illnesses and sicknesses that are going around, that there would be just the word of God, that this sickness is not unto death, but is for the glory of God. And let's just prophesy over their lives. Let's pray also for Janine, who's going to have surgery this week. And let's ask God's hand to be upon them and that their faith would rise up at this time. Let's pray for our sister Irene and her mom, who's actually having surgery this morning at 9 o'clock to repair from her breast cancer a few years ago. And so let's just cover all of our friends and family members that are going through sickness, and let's just ask for God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray that their faith would grow as God challenges them to remove the stones. And so let's just pray for just the comfort and just the power of God, the healing word of God to come over these families. Let's just cover. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's just cover Asia. Let's pray for Cambodia. Lift up Pastor Oh. Pray for Pastor Tang and New Life Church, the Center of Peace Orphanage, and Grace Chung and at Bloom. Let's also pray for Philippines and Solomon's Clinic, and for Elder Chang. and lift up Bhutan as well. Let's just cover these countries and ask for God's work to continue to explode in these places, and that our friends ministering would be cared for and refreshed in the Lord. Let's just cover. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's lift up the IP team, the core team, and the larger team. Let's pray for Matt as he leads, that they would just really be sensitive to Holy Spirit and just really pray His purposes. And let's pray for Cascade and thank the Lord for a new center from which they will minister. Let's pray for vision to be enlarged, and many people will come into healing. Let's pray for the well. Let's pray for Larry and just for God's hand to be upon their ministry, and that we'd see an incredible influx of healings take place through this ministry. So let's cover. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon the renovations. And I went yesterday. It's looking very, very good. Right, things are really coming in. Let's continue to pray for our contractors and K+K. Again, we need to pray for our chairs and the equipment and everything that would come on time, and the lights and all that stuff. Pray for fast delivery, fast production. Pray for safety on the work site. And let's pray that, the church would really rise up during this time. And, it's a new space. And, also get the sense that, as we move, that we're moving into greater influence as well. And, so just another season's opening up for us. And so let's just pray that the church would really come together and really draw near to the Lord as He takes us to the next level, right? So let's just pray for the move and the renovations. Let's cover our house church's meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay and bless Angela and Carmen as they lead. Pray for Mac Daddy with Ken and Janie. Pray for Mac Robinson Road with Brian and Trish and Trigunter, Tom and Charles. And Waterfront. Ken, who's Waterfront? Okay, it's Mary, Ashley, and Karen. And so let's lift up our Kowloon House Church and just pray for just a wonderful meeting tonight where people's faith will grow. Well, let's cover. Father, we just thank you. You know, we thank you for the Word of God and just the examples that you give to us. And we thank you for your mercy, Lord, that even as we felt like you just held Martha's hand step by step, God, we feel your hand as well, Lord God. And we thank you that, God, that you don't get disappointed in us, Lord, that you just continue to lead us. You just continue to guide us, God. You continue to challenge us to take the next step, Lord. And we thank you for just that patience, God, and just that grace, Lord, and the love that you have for us, God. And Lord, we just pray, God, that with your leading, Lord, that we would just continue to grow, God, in faith, God, that Lord, when you ask us once in a while to remove the stones, God, that we would just obey, Father, and thus grow. So we thank you, Father. Watch over us, God, and help us, Lord, throughout this day, throughout this week, Lord, to bring glory to your Son. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.